This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Brocast. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network, and I am coming to you immediately after UCLA's first loss of the season, 14-7 to Utah. It was a really, really, really frustrating game to watch offensively for UCLA. The ending total of 7 points does it justice, but the offensive output ended up being 234 yards for Dante Moore through the air. That doesn't really tell the story of this game. For most of this game, UCLA's offense was completely under wraps, not just mostly. Much of that production came in the fourth quarter. This was a defensive battle. Utah came to play hugely defensively. You got to give them a ton of credit because they were down a ton of guys defensively. But UCLA's defense also came to play, and the score was 14-7, but the defenses each only allowed 7 points. Seven of Utah's points came from Dante Moore pick six on the first throw of the game. Breaking down why UCLA lost, it's pretty obvious offense. I think you could point fingers at a lot of different. I don't think when you score 7 points in total in a game and you don't score for the first three quarters, I don't think that's a single owner of the loss. But let's start here. Chip Kelly. Offensive play calling in this one was bizarre. We saw a lot of weird stuff. Ton of outside zone, outside runs with Carson Steele, who's your slower back, against a defense that has been pretty darn good against the run historically and especially this year. You know they're going to be aggressive. You know they're getting after the line of scrimmage. What's the deal with a bunch of slow developing runs to the outside with your slow back? So that started the game on kind of a bad note from a play calling perspective, first the pick six started on a bad note, but then the play calling and the subsequent drives, just a lot of erased running plays because they weren't running downhill. Late in the game, when they started to run a little bit more downhill with Steele, Harden had a nice drive where he was just kind of running straight. But man, there were a lot of negative plays early that just made it so hard to build any kind of rhythm. So then when UCLA was driving, I know some people have said, well, he had the pitch man on the option play where Moore fumbled the ball away. And it's like, okay, but you're running short side option with your true freshman quarterback who's never done that in a game situation before and who also hasn't run the ball in this game to that point. Is my answer to that. Yeah, he could have gotten Steele, and Steele maybe could have gotten the first down, maybe gotten the touchdown, maybe. But the block was blown up because you're doing that with your backup guard in, Jake Wiley. And so Moore, who's, again, a true freshman, whose best asset, again, is throwing the football. You've got him running speed option to the right side against a blown block. He's not Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and he's never going to be that kind of player. Just baffling. Absolutely baffling call. I'm not going to understand that. I know people are going to say, oh, but it was open. Sure. Yeah. I mean, it'd be open if I ran it too, but I'm not making that play either. So anyway, that's just understanding your personnel, which, I don't know. So that's one, Chip Kelly. The other one is Dante Moore. So offensive line early was pretty poor. Not blocking well. Bruno Fina had a tough time at left tackle. He got replaced. I didn't see him get hurt, so I think he just got replaced by Kadir Kunta in the second half, who did a little bit better until the very end when he did a lot worse. But Moore was not getting a ton of time early. Fina was struggling. Duke Clemens was struggling. Communication seemed to be struggling. And so offensive line had some issues early, but in the second half he was getting protection, and still Moore was dropping his eyes super quick, feeling the rush, playing like a true freshman. And this was a true freshman game. You know, it's something we said, you know, could happen at any point. You know, I thought he'd showed enough mettle to this point that I was not expecting something this disastrous. But it was a disastrous performance. He hit some throws, and you got to give him credit for that, but he also missed some. And yeah, Josiah Norwood comes down with that touchdown early. He's a little bit lighter on his throw to Logan Loya. They might win this game. I don't know. But for much of this game, he didn't look comfortable at all in that pocket. And sometimes it was phantom rush. It wasn't anything that should have been disrupting him. But he's a true freshman taking reps against college defensive linemen who are coming after him hard for really the first time in his career. All apologies to Coastal and San Diego State. So freshman game, he was 15 to 35. So I'll say this. I think Moore was not good. I think Josiah Norwood comes down to the ball, and we might be saying something very different about, you know, his performance. But that leads to another one. The receiving core, just a ton of drops. That Josiah Norwood touchdown, Kyle Ford had one, Keegan Jones had one. There was quite a few drops. They made some plays late. Sturdivant down the sideline for 41 yards. Carson Ryan deep, where he just kind of ripped it away from a defender. Those were great plays. Carson Ryan, I think, you know, he showed he did not want to lose this game. He was playing with some real tenacity late in the game. But receivers didn't do Dante Moore a ton of favors. Logan Loya fell down on a route. I thought the one that was like a fourth down, where it was thrown behind Loya a little bit, I thought it was a bad route. I think he needed to make that a little bit crisper. But, you know, that's, again, just kind of speculation. Offensively, it was just beyond bad. And running the ball, the Utah's run defense was good. Shouldn't have been that good. I think it was a combination of some bad calls against a run defense like that. You know, trying to go lateral. I used to say this when UCLA was extremely under-talented, but you have to understand your personnel. You have to understand who you have in at running back when you make these calls. And yes, Carson Steele can get outside against Coastal Carolina, and he might be able to get outside against San Diego State. He's not going to get outside against Utah. It's not going to happen unless there's a complete blown play or the blocking is just excellent. The blocking wasn't going to be excellent in this one. You had to know you were going to lose some up front, so you've got to plan for a slightly more efficient running attack. And just wasn't there for a long part of the game. So I thought some mistakes made in game planning, some mistakes made in play calling. But it was a many-fathered beast, this offensive performance. And, a few things break differently, and UCLA wins 21-14. But you got Dante Moore throwing a pick six on the first throw, and that almost turned out to be the decisive points, is how bad this offensive performance was. Let that sink in. But on the other hand, and this is something that's going to get lost, I think, a little bit in the disappointment of a game like this, but it really shouldn't be. This defensive performance was one of the best for UCLA, in recent memory. It's to do that when your offense is doing nothing, but to consistently go out there and produce three and out, short drive, three and out, short drive, you know, That's not easy to do mentally. It's not easy to do physically. People were talking about elevation before this game. It didn't seem to impact UCLA's defense at all. This was a really incredible effort. And yes, caveats in place. Utah was without its starting quarterback, was without its number one running back after the first quarter, was out without its starting tight end, was without, I think, a couple of receivers. But still, to hold them to 7 total points, I think the final total was 102 yards rushing on 48 carries. That'll play. And Nate Johnson was, as inefficient as he's been yet in his young career. I think this UCLA defense is for real. Again, there's still that caveat that Utah is pretty one-dimensional without Cam Rising there, but not totally one-dimensional. Nate Johnson hit some throws in this one. He can throw the ball a little bit. They just don't have the full offense installed for him. UCLA's defense played really, really well. Kane Medrano, this was his best game as a Bruin by far. 2 sacks, 2.5 tackles for loss, a forced fumble. Big, big stop on a third down. Just really great game. UCLA as a whole had 11 tackles for loss. So once again, eclipsing the 10 tackles for loss total. 4 sacks. I mean, it's that UCLA thing, man, where it's just, okay, you got a good defense now. The offense is going to be shaky. Because this defense, I think, it's 4 games into the season now. We can keep pumping the brakes on it, but 4 games of data is 4 games of data. And yeah, the competition wasn't great in the first 3. And Utah, is still kind of hobbled on offense, but how do you look askance at dominating, the opponents you should dominate? And this defense dominated this opponent. The only points Utah scored was on a drive that started at the Utah 49. Otherwise it was field goal attempt, fumble, downs, punt, punt, touchdown. And then after half, punt, 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 punt. They never got within field goal range. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 3 and outs, and a 1 and out where, Medrano forced the fumble. I mean, that's just doing your job. The defense was excellent. But that does bring up another point. Defense was excellent. Offense was poor. Special teams was pretty mediocre. Didn't advantage UCLA at all. And the end result was that Utah, by virtue of moving the ball a little bit better in the majority of the game, it wasn't all concentrated at the end, but also by virtue of them having a lights-out punter, they started every one of their drives on average on their own 36. UCLA started on average on its own 23. In a game where it's all marginal, it's all like, can you start them a little bit further that way so that your next drive will be a little bit further that way? Giving up 13 net yards in field position is one of many factors that's decisive. If you flip that, if UCLA was starting its drives on the 36 and Utah was starting its drives on the 23, UCLA probably wins this game. These are the things that, like, that's 13 lost yards that could have been, added to any of these drives to turn them into scoring drives. It turns a drive where you bottom out at the, 35 or the 40 into a field goal drive. And you stack a couple of those together, you're in business. So I think there's a lot of, if you're choosing to find indictments in this game, things that you could really, point a finger at program management. One of the big ones for me, I know it's might be seen as somewhat minor, but one of the big ones for me is just the lack of recruitment of scholarship kickers, scholarship specialists. UCLA historically did that, recruited scholarship punters, scholarship kickers, and historically has had really good scholarship punters and scholarship kickers. Like, they go hand in hand. If you recruit guys who have been focused on that and who developed it under, say whatever you want about Saylor's rankings or whatnot, but there is a system there to some extent. You recruit the guys who are really good in that area, you'll produce some pretty good field goal teams, some pretty good punting teams. Will Powers so far has not been very good. And with their punting, the offense needs to be a lot better. So that's one aspect of it, or the kicking game is not very good. But then you've got the returning game. And this is the one where I could almost forgive it if we were walking into the year and saying, no, UCLA is going to have an elite offense and it's going to be gangbusters. But now, I mean, this was a game where they were struggling, and they're still running Colson Yankoff out there at kick returner. He's not going to – I mean, I don't want to say something decisive and have it be thrown back in my face when it's or definitive, I should say, and have it be thrown back in my face because I'm prone to that. but Colson Yankoff's not going to break a big run this year on kick returns. Just not. He's too big. Too big. You don't see that because it's not something that big guys can typically do. Running through a ton of traffic and turning that into a long gain. Right now he in this game he averaged 18 yards a return. You're not giving yourself an advantage there. And they'd be best served with him just fair catching them all, because he's not going to average 25 yards. Not going to happen. So just fair catch. Get it at the 25. And at least don't put your offense in disadvantage. But what UCLA should actually do is put somebody back there who's actually dangerous. I mean, Keegan Jones, I don't think he's got great vision, but stick him back there and see what happens. But it's just, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of issues there. And Logan Loy on punt returns, I think he's passable. And I don't think I think Utah's special teams are very good. They punted it really well, and they also covered the punts really well. I don't think there was much opportunity there, but there were a couple where I said, well, that's a fair catch, but maybe it should have been try to make something happen. But I just don't think he's that kind of player. I think he's going to try to do the sure thing, and that makes sense for who he is, but, I don't know. I think there's more dynamic playmakers you could put at both of those spots who might, do a little bit more. Anyway, disappointing game, 14-7. I think there's some positives you can take from it. I think the defense is legit, for real, the whole deal. Offense, man, oh, man. So Utah's defense is very good. I don't know the next time they're going to face one exactly that good. Oregon State's up there. Washington State is not. But, yeah, they got some work to do if they're going to actually compete for this conference title this year. All right. Well, that'll do it for me, and we'll be back again this week previewing nothing because it's the bye week. Rest well, my friends.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.